chapter 1, and then we will jump over to chapter 5 and grab a couple of verses as well. I want to say thank you, Brother Pepper, for this opportunity to be with you today. It's always a privilege. I know I'm not far from home, certainly in the company of friends and brothers and sisters. Amen. So glad to see Miss London here this morning. She wasn't bashful at all. She came right up, running up, and gave me a hug this morning, and it's good to see her. Church, I want the Lord to help us today. There's two things that are the same everywhere you go. Number one, there's people that have needs. Number two, there's God that meets those needs. You believe that this morning? He's going to help me preach. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1, the first three verses there. Let's read. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Amen. Are you thankful for that? Then flip over a couple pages there. Chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. Chapter 5, verses 4 and 5 says, and no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my Son, today have I begotten thee. The Lord being my help here today just for a few minutes, and I promise, I know I'm standing between you and lunch. I won't hold you very long this morning. But if the Lord would help me this morning, I want to preach to you on this thought, the eternal priest. Amen. The eternal priest. Would you bow your heads one more time? Ask God to help us this morning. Lord, we need your help, God, today with this message. Lord, we need your help in this sanctuary. God, I know your word is anointed now, and I pray that you would anoint your servant. God, help me to express this message. Careful to give you the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. The church would say with me, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. The eternal priest. How many would agree to the fact here today that God, as we read in chapter 1 there, God is speaking to us in these last days? Is that right? You believe the Lord's speaking to us? There is an element of discernment that is required by the people of God to understand the voice of Christ above those that are speaking in this world. Here we as the people of God, we have a grave responsibility, it's been said this morning, to discern the voice of God. God is speaking in these last days, but how many know today he's not speaking through a politician, he's not speaking through government, but he's speaking, as the text said, by his Son. Amen. We need to hear the voice of God. We need to hear what God is saying to us in these last days. Amen. The Lord being my help, I've just got 3 points here today. Number one, those that come to God must come through Jesus Christ. Number two, giving heed will keep you off the slippery slope. And number three, how can one man do all this? But those that come to God, number one, this is what I want to preach to you about this morning. Those that come to God must come through Jesus Christ. Amen. This is what the Word of God teaches us. Amen. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He's still the only way to heaven. Amen. He is the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 10 tells us he is also the door of the sheep. Amen. The attack in this last and modern day church is not if Jesus can get you to heaven, but that the attack is you can get to heaven without following Jesus. But here today, brothers and sisters, I came to tell you, Jesus Christ is still the only way to the Father. Amen. That simply, it won't work any other way. The values of our Christian walk and our Christian life, they don't lie in the tradition and the liturgy of the church just simply as an organization. But here, we're not an organization. We're an organism. We're alive. We are the body of God, and that's who He's called us to be. And we know that the Old Testament, here as I talk about the eternal priest today, the Old Testament was full of types and shadows of Jesus Christ. But when He came, there was no more need to look for these things. Brother Pepper, when we come into the house of God this morning, we don't have to come before an altar. We don't have to sacrifice a lamb in order to get into the presence of God. But because of the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross, the veil has been parted, and now you and I have access to the Father. Oh, aren't you thankful for that this morning? We must look for Jesus Christ. Amen. He doesn't compete with types and shadows. He doesn't compete with tabernacles and sacrifices. But when we go to God, we must go through Jesus Christ, His Son. Amen. Our methods here this morning, the way that we get to God, should never overshadow the message that we have. It is the lifting of Jesus Christ that's the method. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." That is the method of salvation. Amen. And we know that when we look at this book, is it all right if I just talk to you here for a few minutes this morning? When we look at this book, we have something that we call progressive revelation, something that is what we would say concealed in the Old Testament, revealed in the New. But we know by the law of revelation that every revelation must come to a point of fullness. Every revelation given by God must come to a point of fulfillment. We find that not only in eschatology in the last days and the study of things that are happening in the end times, but here, Jesus Christ, we have the types and shadows of the priest and the sacrifice in the Old Testament. But that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you believe that here this morning? Church, we need to do more than just believe the history, but we need to behold the glory of who Jesus Christ is. Verse 3 there of our text, who being in the brightness of His glory, Jesus Christ does not reflect the glory of God. The Bible tells us He is the glory of God. And the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power. I'm seeing a pattern here. When He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Amen. He does not just resemble the Father. He is one with the Father. Amen. He doesn't just speak for the Father, but praise God this morning, He speaks as the Father to us. Amen. He is God in the Son, and the old song says, He always will be God. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? When we go to the Father, we've got to go through Jesus. And here this morning, my second point, giving heed is going to keep you off the slippery slope. Go with me there to chapter 2 of Hebrews. Chapter 2 of Hebrews. If you've still got your Bible open there, we're going to read a couple of verses here. Giving heed will keep you from a slippery slope. Hebrews 2 and verse 1 there says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should what? Let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, verse 2, and every transgression and disobedience, how shall we escape, verse 3 says, if we neglect a so great a salvation? God gives us a warning in this passage, I believe. Here in these last days, I mention hearing the voice of God. When He says, it's one thing to say, listen, but it's another thing to say, give heed. And it's a whole other ballgame to say, give the more earnest heed. He's not saying, you need to listen. He's not saying you really need to listen. He's saying you really, really need to listen to what I'm telling you. It's going to keep you from falling in these last days. Giving the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. If you don't pay attention to where you're going in your walk with God, you will begin to let some things slip. Amen. And if you allow yourself to become careless in prayer and in the things of God, you will fall away. Amen. From this place God has given us with the eternal priest, Jesus Christ. Amen. How are we going to escape if we neglect the salvation that God has offered to us? Amen. He is speaking this morning, church. He's spoken to us already. And when He does, our verse says He's going to be speaking by His Son. There are those that Paul warned us about having itching ears. They desire maybe the history more than Jesus Christ. We look at the book of Hebrews and we see a key word almost in every chapter. You're going to find one word, and that is Himself. Himself. The things that Jesus did for you and I, friends, here this morning, He did it all by Himself. He didn't need another priest. He didn't need another sacrifice. But everything that He went through on that cross, let alone, I know a lot of times we talk about the suffering of Jesus and what He went through, and we think of the crucifixion and we think of the cross. But what about the things that He went through before He ever got there? The temptation in the wilderness and the mental battles that He faced as a human man on this side, amen, on this side of humanity, amen. But here this morning, those that desire history will never have what they truly can have with God, amen. I know it's good to study, and I know it's good to know the tradition. But if you don't have a relationship with the one who is the base of those, you're missing it this morning. The system that we have will never be greater than the one we're serving. If nothing's flowing, brothers and sisters, in my life, then I know that tells me something's not growing. John 15 tells us that powerful principle of abiding in the vine. Jesus Christ, He is the vine, and we are the branches. Amen. We as the people of God cannot afford to stop short of what God has called us to and what God has given us. You go on looking there at chapter 3 and 4, it talks about the rest. Coming short of the rest. Coming short of the promises of God. We can look around today and know that some folks have just, they've not went all the way yet with God. They've stopped short. One of these examples that I look at in the Old Testament is the children of Israel. My, what a pitiful example. I can't remember which book it is, maybe Deuteronomy or Joshua. It tells a really sad fact that the journey from Egypt to the Promised Land, you go in, it's in there, look it up. 11 days is what it should have took them. 11 days. It specifically says that in the scripture. 11 days to get from where they were at in Goshen there to the Promised Land. But how long did it take them? Anybody? 40 plus years. Talk about a stubborn and a stiff-necked people. Amen. Here this morning, I don't want to stop short of what God has for me. I don't want to get to the very brink. I don't want to get to the very point of what God has, and then maybe just by a small step of something I'm not willing to surrender, I stop short of just taking the plunge and jumping off into what God has called me to do. Here this morning, we don't need to stop short of what God's called us to. You can travel with the saints and not be sanctified. You can be brought out of sin, Brother Pepper, but never pursue a sanctified life. You can be delivered from Egypt, but never cross over into the Promised Land. There's a big difference. Hebrews tells us, I love this book. Hebrews tells us there's a big difference between just associating with God and partaking in the things of God. Here, friends, this morning, how many, just by a show of hands, you don't want to stop short of what God has called us to be as His church in these last days. Don't fall short. Amen. You can travel with the saints and not be sanctified. You can go and you can stop. But here this morning, that is not God's plan for you as the people of God. Giving heed is going to keep you off the slippery slope. Hallelujah. And then my third point here this morning, how can one man do all this? Flip over back there with me to chapter 5. Let's read that again. Verse 1. We're talking about the office of the high priest, and we have the limitations of what was before. Is it all right if I just preach about Jesus this morning? Chapter 5 and verse 1 there. I have your Bibles. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God. What he's saying, taking a human office, but we're still able to get to God, is what he's saying. That he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself is also compassed with infirmity. In other words, what he's saying is the priest, he can go and he can have compassion on people. This is what the priest did in the Old Testament, because he knew what it was like to be a human, right? He was compassed about with infirmity. He knew what it was like to be a human being. Amen. And no man, by reason hereof, verse 3 says, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. But he was limited. Why? Because he was a man. The high priest in the Old Testament. I'm not talking about Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the high priest in the Old Testament. He was limited because he was a man. He was fallible man. Amen. Before Jesus Christ, fallible men were the priests offering sacrifices on behalf of the people. Amen. Here this morning, this concept of a priest, this concept of getting man back to God, is not man's idea. It was God's idea. It's always been God's idea. We sang about it this morning, redemption. I'm redeemed by love divine. Can I tell you, friends, this morning, that was not a man's idea. That was God's idea to get man back to God, to reconcile man back to God. Amen. This high priest was their physical, their visible representation of what was to come in the future. And can I tell you, friends, here this morning, when you go before God, you're going to the high priest. Let me ask you a question. When you close your eyes, everybody just do that right now. Let's just have an experiment. Close your eyes. What do you see? Not a whole lot of anything. You can open them. But friends, here this morning, is that how we are in prayer? Do we pray? Do we pray to the void when we close our eyes? Do we just pray to a dark hole in the ceiling? We got a black ceiling here this morning. Do we just pray to the void when we close our eyes? Do we really realize what we are doing? There is a high priest in heaven this morning, standing at the right hand of the Father. And Sister Pepper, every prayer that you pray, it goes through Jesus Christ and He repeats it to the Father. You say, Lord, would you please save my loved ones? And the high priest goes to the Father and say, God, Father, would you please save their loved ones? We're talking about a powerful concept this morning. The high priest. It's more than just praying to a blackness, of praying to the void. Amen. This morning. But you are praying to someone who is alive. Amen. When you go to prayer, you are going to the eternal high priest. Amen. He didn't just visit men. The Bible says He became man. John chapter 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He did not just visit us, but He became a man. Amen. But this is the concept of where we pass over from just a regular high priest to Jesus Christ, the eternal priest. He was not only the man that offended God, but He was also the God that man offended. You and I could never understand that. You and I could never know what that is like, but He has done that for us here this morning. He's done it for us. He was not just man that offended God, but He was also the God who offended man. Can we really know, you and I, can we really know how offensive to God that sin is? Think about it for just a moment. Can we really know? You and I have never, well, there's some crazy stuff out there that says you can become a God and, you know, you become like unto God. I don't believe that's true. I'm not a Mormon. Praise God. But here, can we really know the agony, the pain Jesus Christ went through in the Garden of Gethsemane? He knew what it was like to be the man that offended God. But He was also the God that man offended. Can you imagine the turmoil, the anxiety that He went through as our great high priest? Can we really know what this is like? Can I tell you this morning, no other high priest could be both the priest and the sacrifice. But that's who Jesus was. He through Himself, the Bible says in Hebrews, offered Himself up through the eternal Spirit to God. Now don't get confused this morning. I'm Trinitarian, don't worry. But there is no other man that could have done that. Jesus Christ is the eternal priest this morning. And I really think this ought to revolutionize how we pray. When we close our eyes, we're not talking to a void. We're talking to the eternal man in glory, Christ Jesus, the high priest, amen, in the Holy of Holies. And the Bible says, there He ever liveth to make intercession for us. This morning when you pray, know your prayers are going somewhere. Your prayers are going somewhere this morning, amen. No other high priest could be both the priest and the sacrifice. Before Jesus Christ, it was dying priests that offered dying sacrifices for dying men. But here today, after what Jesus has done, we now have an eternal high priest who has offered an eternal sacrifice so that you and I can have eternal life this morning. That's who Jesus is. He's the eternal high priest. Oh, aren't you thankful for that this morning? When you go to Him in prayer, you can realize, you can know that you have been cleared before God in the Holy of Holies. You can go before God without a sacrifice and without a veil and without having another man to go and offer a sacrifice for you. But here today, Jesus Christ, He's made it possible. You can go to Him in prayer anytime, anywhere you need to. How can one man do all this? I just got one simple answer for you. He's the Son of God. He is the Son of God, and He ever lives this morning to make intercession for you and for me. Amen. Would you stand with me here this morning? Aren't you thankful He's our eternal priest? Hallelujah. Brother Pepper, I'm going to turn it back to you. Praise the Lord. Oh, church, this is powerful. I think it ought to change how we live our lives. I think it certainly ought to change how we pray. When you realize the sacrifice that has been made for you and I through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let that sink in this morning. He's praying for you this morning. And everything that you say, everything that you do, everything that you pray this morning is being repeated to the Father by Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, could we lift our hands this morning and thank Him for it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for it. God, you're